We're experiencing some technical difficulties this morning. My God is bigger than my difficulties, though. My God is bigger than my difficulties. Would you bow with me? Father, Lord, our prayer is this morning that you would be the center of it all, of our lives, of our church, of our marriages, of our relationships, of our habits, of our quiet times, of our public times. Father, you would be the center of it all. Father, everything we do and say here in this place this morning bring honor and glory to you because we're focused on you. Not on self, but on you. Father, may we lift you high and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 6, we've been studying for a few weeks now, talking about the armor of God, and I've got the old tin man over here still. We talked about the belt of truth. The first week was the belt of truth and how we must wrap ourselves in the truth and how the truth guards us and protects us because we're standing in the truth. And it also, we talked about how it provides protection for the reproduction of that truth. Not that we produce it, but we reproduce it through our lives because we're standing in the truth. And we talked about last week the breastplate of righteousness. I'm sorry, I forgot to dismiss the children. And they're dismissing themselves, aren't they? They know. Y'all, they go to children's church. Last week we talked about the breastplate of righteousness and how we must put on the righteousness, not of our own. We can't create righteousness, but we must put on the righteousness of Christ Jesus, who when we stand in his righteousness, we must recognize that we are made righteous through Christ. We're made in right standing in God's eyes, but only through Jesus Christ. Today we're going to talk about what I've entitled the sermon, The Gospel Shoes. And I'm going to kind of disclose some things about that in a moment. But if you'll turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 10 through 15. This passage also is printed in your, Donna has put this in the bulletin. They fit in there just nicely. So Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Verse 15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Twice in that passage, Paul encourages us to put on the full armor of God because he knows that bits and pieces are not quite adequate enough. We need all of it because if we leave something open for attack, I guarantee you the devil knows what's vulnerable in your lives and he will attack your vulnerabilities. He attacks my vulnerabilities. He's crafty. He knows those things. And if we don't guard ourselves from head to toe, he will find where to attack you. This gospel of peace that we read about here is it's not the same word, not the same Greek word used for the gospel. Okay, the gospel, the good news, the story of Jesus Christ and the good news that he brings, salvation through him. It's a different word. It means, because the focus here is not on the gospel of Jesus Christ. The focus here is on the gospel of peace. Have your feet shod, the King James Version uses, feet shod with the readiness or the preparedness that comes from the gospel of peace. So we're focused on the readiness because of God's peace. Okay? That's kind of where we're going today. It's that inner peace that true Christ followers have that gives us strength, readiness, boldness, this readiness or this reference, again, I told you, is different. Because we're not talking specifically in this passage about this gospel as being an evangelistic tool. This reference is about fighting the spiritual warfare waged by the devil in our lives. It's an inner peace that we're talking about. Again, he says, you got to put it on. You got to put it on. We talked about, made several references throughout this whole series, that this doesn't do me much good if I have it hanging in my closet, right? If I know what the truth is, but yet I hang it over here and I don't live in it, what good does the truth do me? If I don't have it wrapped around me, holding all of me within the truth, the belt of truth does me no good. The same way with the breastplate of righteousness. If I hang it over there and I'm not standing in the righteousness of Christ, what good does it do me hanging over there? Or like in this case, having it on display. I mean, how many of you ever seen a coat of armor on display somewhere? Pictures of it in a museum, something like that? There's nobody in it. It's not doing somebody any good, right? So Paul says, you've got to put it on. You've got to put on the belt. Stand in the truth. You've got to recognize the righteousness that God has placed upon you. Put it on. And now he says, have your feet shod. Have your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Our responsibility is to put it on. God has provided the armor. We must put it on. Sometimes some of us need to just quit blaming God for that which we're not doing. God, I'm not ready. God has given us the gospel of peace. And with that comes the readiness. God, I don't know what the truth is. God has said, I've given you the truth. You're just not standing in it. God, I just don't feel adequate. I don't feel right. God says, I've made you righteous. You're just not recognizing it. You're not willing to stand in that righteousness. You're listening to the lies of the old devil that tells you that you're no good, that you're a sinner. And we talked about that. Devil says you're a sinner. And guess what? That's the absolute truth. Just recognize it and move on, because Jesus Christ has already dealt with that. Quit trying to deal with that. It's done. But you got to stand in it. You have to believe it. You have to put it on in your life. If it's cold outside, what do? How do you dress? Some of us are like, finally it's t-shirt weather. But if it's really cold, if I was going to back where I started school at West Point, New York, I would wear as much as I could in the wintertime, because it gets bitter cold. I would dress appropriately, right? If it's really hot and I'm going to be doing some stuff out in the yard or whatever here in Houston area, Texas, I'm going to have as little on as I can get by with and still be dressed appropriately. I want to cover myself. But I'm either going to wear shorts, a t-shirt, maybe my Crocs, or at least something that's loose fitting, something that helps me stay cooler, right? If it's raining outside, what am I going to do? What do you do if it's raining outside? Umbrella, a raincoat, plastic bag over your brand new hairdo, right? Something like that. You're going to get prepared for the circumstances, right? If you're headed to a formal event, if I'm going to a dinner with my bride and we're going to go celebrate our anniversary or something, I'm not going to wear the same clothes that I went and mowed the yard in. I'm not going to wear my shorts and my tank top and my Crocs and my flip-flops, right? She says no. And if I try, we won't leave the house until I get properly dressed, right? You should not leave your place. You should not get up. You should not do a thing until you're properly dressed. We dress for the occasion. We don't dress for the battle. Why don't we? I think it's sometimes because we don't recognize we're in the battle. Was reminded just last night in a movie. Is how many of you have seen The Pirates of the Caribbean? It's a movie that's it's kind of old now. I'm talking about the first one. And in there, it's not a Christian movie. I'm not endorsing the movie. But in there, when the bad pirate, as if they're good pirates, right? But the really bad pirate, he is talking to Elizabeth Swann, and and he kind of reveals to her finally for the first time that he's not, he's kind of a ghost, right? And he drinks, and it all flows down through his innards, and it just pours out, and, you know, because he has no guts, it's just bones and skeleton. But he says this. He said, "You better start believing in ghost stories, Missy, because you're in one. Let me tell you, you better start believing there's a spiritual battle because you're in one. You've got to recognize what's going on in your life and around you. And you're in a spiritual battle. The devil wants you to fail. He wants to see you tripped up and trampled on." We talked about in the first week when we talked about the belt of truth. And I just kind of went through it real fast, but very plainly, if you lose the belt of truth buckled around your waist while you're walking and you're trying to do stuff, and it gets down around your ankles, if you let the truth fall, it will trip you up. It'll get tangled in your feet, and you're going to fall flat on your face because you're not in the truth. You've allowed the truth to fall. You get tripped up by an untruth. Verse 15 talks about the preparation, the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Preparation is the separation between winning and losing. You know that, don't you? How many of you ever played ball? How many have ever performed in anything? Music, a band, and flags, the piano. Maybe you sang a song, or maybe you did. If you're not prepared, it's not a good thing, right? We need to be prepared. Preparation is the separation between winning and losing. 1 John 4, chapter 4 says, "Greater in he that is in me than he that is in the world." That is so comforting to me because I can understand that greater is he that is in me. Jesus Christ lives in me. Greater is he than he that is in the world, than the old devil. You could almost write a song about that, couldn't you? Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that... Did y'all know that song? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is Jesus Christ. Do you not know that? I don't think you do. You're like, "Oh, I think I do." That's good news. That's good news. It fires me up. Greater is Jesus Christ, and he is in me, than the old devil who runs around in this world and tries to steal people. Greater is Jesus Christ. That's good news. Another passage I want to share with you real quickly is 2 Timothy 2:22. It's easy to remember. 2 Timothy 2:22. Bunch of twos and Timothys. "Flee from the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with all those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Key word here is flee the evil desires of youth. And I think it's certainly appropriate to say that age has no bearing on the youthfulness here. I think it's talking about a maturity. Flee from the evil desires of being immature. Immature in your faith, immature in your walk, immature in your trust. Flee from the evil desires that come from being mature. And what? Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. That's where maturity is grown. That's where maturity comes from, is when we flee from the evil desires of immaturity and pursue being mature in our faith. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you needed to run, to flee from something? Alligators, snakes, bears, lions, tigers, oh my, whatever, anything. Okay, let me ask you a question. If you are not ready and you've got, you know, you've just come back from the pedicure place and you've got your toenails done and you got one of those paper flip-flops that they give you, you know, how ready are you to run, to flee? You're not. You're not. If you have to flee somewhere, if I have to flee somewhere in the dead middle of the night, if I get woken up and have to flee, watch out, because I'm running over something. I'm not ready. My eyes aren't adjusted. My head's not straight. I'm not ready. We need to be ready at all times to flee from those attacks from the old devil. If we're going to walk around, if we're going to run, if we're going to stand our ground, we have to have the right shoes on. All right? The reason I think many of us don't run to mature righteousness is because we don't have peace with God. And that's what it talks about. To be ready with the gospel of peace. To be ready, you have to have peace. All right? Your feet. This is number one, feet. Your feet are your foundation. Right? I'm standing on my feet, on my foundation. Did you know, here's just some statistics for you. Did you know that 25% of the total number of bones that make up the skeletal system are found in your feet? Now, they're small, a whole bunch of small ones, but 25% of the total number, not the mass, unless you've got really big feet, but if the total number of the bones in your skeletal system are found, 25% of them are found in your feet, if you've got two of them, you know. If you've only got one, then that percentage drops, obviously. But if you've got 2 feet, 25% of the total number of bones is found in your feet. Also, your central nervous system is completely wired at the bottom of your feet. Did y'all know that? There are people that specialized in I don't even know what you call it, but you can go and reflexologists, you can go and say, I've got this headache, and they'll start finding the spot on your foot, and they'll mash on it or poke on it with a sharp stick or something. It'll hurt your feet, but the studies have shown that we're wired at the bottom of our feet, so when they go to those places and they massage that or rub on that or something, it sometimes helps relieve the headache. Or if you've got, you know, indigestion or heart issues or blood circulation, whatever it is, they've got this chart even that hangs on the wall. You can find out which spots go to what areas of your body. And it's interesting to know that our feet, there are places in our feet that affect the entire body. There are places in your feet that if you're not shod with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, will affect your entire body, your entire life. Another statistic is that 80% of the time, the entire weight of the body is on one foot. Did you know that? When I'm walking, 80% of the time, my entire weight is on one foot or the other. One foot. And if I do this, that's 100% for that time, wasn't it? Yeah. 80% of the time, I'm not sure exactly why that was important, but it was just interesting. I wanted you to know that. Feet are a big deal. Feet are a big deal. Have you ever had sore feet? Okay, feet are a big deal. Have you ever worn a pair of shoes, a new pair of shoes, and stayed on your feet too long? Yes. Blisters, soreness, irritation, right? The only way to have peace is to have the gospel of peace fitted where it affects every part of the central nervous system, every part of your life. If you have any uncertainties, if you have any insecurities, if you have any unsure thoughts about that, it must first be settled with the gospel of peace. You need to be at peace. It's your foundation. It's what you stand on. That's called confidence. You need to be confident in your faith that comes from having peace. In Vietnam, when we first sent our soldiers over there with the standard issue black leather army boots, soldiers were dropping right and left. They were having to pull back from the lines and because their feet were rotting away. You've ever heard of jungle rot, right? That's what it was from. They had to redesign the boots with drain holes, and they used mesh instead of the leather in some parts. They had to have drain holes because when you're marching through the mud and the muck of the jungle, when your feet get wet, they had to at least let the water drain out, and they were easier to dry, you know, if you could find a place that was dry. But they had to deal with that because the soldiers, guess what? They couldn't fight because their feet weren't taken care of. Feet are a big deal, and you can't fight unless your feet are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Number two, your feet must be fitted. My feet, and I wore these boots specifically today because I wanted to show you. You can't tell from where you're sitting, but I had these boots made in Mexico. This boot on my right foot is a 13D. The boot on my left foot is a 14EE. That's two different sizes. In case you didn't catch that the first time around, it's two different sizes. I had I've had a total of four surgeries on this ankle, and it's just bigger than it's ever. I mean, it's just not going to get any smaller. It's big. It's huge. It affected my whole foot. Well, whenever I sent my measurements down with a guy to the bootmaker down there and said, this is what size I need. And he said, he wants two pair of boots. He said, no, he wants one pair of boots. This for the right foot and this for the left foot. And when he came back and was reporting to him, the bootmaker said, what happened to this man? When he realized that my feet were like that, because it's not natural. Usually you have one foot that's a little bit bigger than the other, right? But that's, I mean, a full size and width and all that, that's a little bit odd, okay? But I will tell you, when I would try to buy size 13 boots, one foot was happy. The other foot wasn't happy at all. If I could even get into it, it was just all cramped up and it was like, get me out of here. I don't like this. And it affected me. It affected the way I walk. And I couldn't just, it was very, very uncomfortable. So if I went and bought size 14 boots, this foot was happy. It was like, ah, oh, finally found something I could fit in. And this boot was like rattling around it was flopping and getting blisters because it was slipping all over the place. I couldn't make both feet happy with one size of boot, right? They had to be fitted. Have you ever had a pair of shoes that you bought that you just wanted because they looked really good, or you liked the way they just looked good and you just had to have them? You ever wanted a pair so bad, but you just couldn't find your size? They just didn't fit you like you wanted them to fit, but you wanted them real bad. Has anybody ever done that, or am I the only one? Okay. Mostly women. What's up with that? They just weren't your size, but you knew it. And the person that was trying to fit your feet, he knew it, or she knew it. They're like, they don't really fit. And you're like, I don't care. I want them. I got to have them. They're on sale. I've got to get them while they're on sale. Whatever the reason is, they go with my purse. I don't know. You had to have them. You knew it. They didn't fit right. The store person knew they didn't fit right. And they know. And you know that improperly fitted shoes are going to become an irritation to you. And it just may be that the reason is some of us feel at war with ourselves, maybe even at war with our eternity, is because we're wearing the wrong shoes. You aren't wearing the shoes of promise and peace. Maybe you're wearing the shoes of personal preference. But that's a whole other series. I want us to be certain. I want to be certain. I want to be at peace. I want to be at peace because it's been tested. It's been proven. Ever wonder why the ugly shoes are the ones that always seem to be the most comfortable? My wife has some shoes that she wears because she's a teacher and she's on her feet all day long. And the comfortable shoes that she wears are the ugliest things. But she wears the ugly ones because they fit and they're comfortable. She knows that's going to work better than the cute, neat, cute little petite high heels or whatever that are going to hurt her feet 30 minutes into the day. It's interesting. We keep trying the ones we think look good or wish we could wear, only to find that they irritate and they stress us out. They cause us problems throughout the entire body, throughout our whole life, because we're not fitted. We don't have peace. We're not fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Number three, you've got to be free to stand, to fight, and to run. There is freedom when you have peace. There is freedom when you have peace. When you're walking in the freedom that is found only in Christ Jesus, the Spirit of God leads you because you're confidently standing in peace with God, where you can then hear His voice, and then you're ready and your feet are free to go as God directs you. I'm going to say that again. It's a mouthful. The Spirit of God leads you because you're confidently standing in peace with God where you can hear His voice. And then you're ready and your feet are prepared to go as God has directed you. But you have to be ready. You have to first be at peace so that you're ready to move. You have to be ready. You have to be prepared. Free to stand, fight, walk through all kinds of stuff, even pain sometimes. You have to be free to run. You have to be free to run from sin. You have to be prepared to run from the lies, the junk, and the funk that the devil tries to he tries to sell. He tries to pull us down. You have to run from the temptations, run from the opportunities to sin. You have to be in the right shoes. Again, I was helping Rebecca move some furniture in her classroom the other day. We were moving a table from one side of the classroom to the other, and it was a fairly large table, but it wasn't too heavy. But we had to go around all the desks to get to the other side, right? So I pick up one end, she gets on the other end, and she's going backwards. She's wearing her flip-flops. Enough said. Have you ever tried to walk backwards in flip-flops? It was so comical, sweetheart. Thank you for that laughter that I enjoyed. It was difficult. It was difficult for her to do that. She didn't have the right shoes on for the job. They were comfortable for some of the things she was doing, but she was not prepared to be moving furniture that day, right? Don't expect to get up and run when you've been relaxing in your flip-flops. You've got to be ready. You've got to be ready. To live in the freedom found in Christ, I have a few things that you'll have to be at peace with. First of all, you have to be at peace with Christ. You have to be at peace with Him. How do you get to where you're at peace with Jesus Christ? You have to recognize who He is, that He is the Son of the living God sent here on this earth for you. Because you have sinned and you've fallen short of the glory of God. Romans tells us that all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God, and Jesus Christ was sent for you because of your sin, because you have messed up, because I have messed up. That's why Jesus came. You know that? I mean, if we were perfect and we hadn't sinned, Jesus Christ would have had no need to come. It was for that very purpose. And you and I, we can't even make the proper sacrifice. You and I, we can't atone for our own sin. We can't make it right with God. So Jesus Christ made it right for us. You have to be at peace with that. You have to be at peace with others. Our motto is love up and love out. Right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. We have to love one another. We have to love each other. We have to be considerate of each other. And then here, there's also peace in knowing that you hear the Holy Spirit. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Stand in confidence and in boldness because of the peace that guards your heart and your mind. The peace of God will do that in your life. But you've got to, again, be fitted with it. You have to put it on and stand in it. Those gospel shoes, they may look good, but when they're on the shelf and you look at them, they're not doing you any good. You've got to get in them. You've got to put them on. And then the last thing is, what are you running from? What have you not dealt with that keeps you tied down and keeps you from being bold? Is it fear? You have to be at peace with others. That little thought that pops in your head when you're about to be bold, you're about to do something great, and something comes in your mind and says, "You can't do that." What are you thinking? They know who you are. Or maybe it says this: "All right, Mike, if you do this, if you make that stand right there, are you prepared to continue to stand in that?" Maybe that's a sacrifice you're just not willing to make right now, Mike, because this is the voice that I hear in my head. Are you sure you want to go through with this? Because if you do, and then you back up, what's that going to say? You have to be at peace with that. You have to settle those things before you're ready to stand. You have to live out your faith. You have to be at peace with God, ready to do His will, confident because of His righteousness, knowing that we can trust in the truth because we're wrapped in it. We're standing in God's truth. See how the armor works together? You can be at peace because you're standing in the truth and you trust in the righteousness of God. And there's more to come too. We haven't even got to the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit yet, but we're going to get there. We're going to get there. Hope you come back. You have to be at peace with ourselves. Sometimes we're running from ourselves. Isn't that silly? Sometimes we're running from ourselves. We feel guilty. We feel sinful. We feel ordinary. Well, I got news for you. We are guilty. We are sinful. We are far from ordinary, though. We are far from ordinary. When I understand and I believe that when I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, and He says, He does what He promised, and He sends His Holy Spirit to take up residence within me, and I am now filled with the Holy Spirit, do I really understand that I am no longer ordinary? I have the Spirit of the living God living within me. That makes me extraordinary. That makes me superhuman. Sometimes we don't get that, though. Sometimes we think, well, I'm still just regular. I'm still sinful me. Yes, that you are. I am. We're sinful. We're guilty. But we're far from ordinary. And when we stand in the righteousness of God, He says you're no longer even guilty because that price has been paid. Sometimes we have to be at peace with ourselves. Most importantly, we have to be at peace with God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, there's a way, and I'm it. I'm not a way, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man comes to the Father except through me. The only way to have peace with God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. There's no getting around that. I wouldn't even want to try. That's the best way there is. It's the only way. Maybe you don't have peace with God because you've never met Him. There's a difference between liking Jesus and wanting Jesus. There's a difference between saying, I like Jesus. A lot of people like Jesus. A lot of people like Jesus. There's a big difference between liking Jesus and wanting Jesus. There's a big difference, though, between wanting Jesus, oh, I want Jesus, and recognizing that you need Jesus. There's a big difference between wanting Jesus, I want that, recognizing I need it. But listen, there's still a difference between recognizing the need for Jesus and where He wants us to be and saying, I've got to have Him. I've got to have Jesus. I can't do without. I need it. I'm desperate for it. Whatever it takes, I need it. I want it, and I like it. All that stuff, and I'm going to get it, whatever it takes. That's where God wants us. Because when we're at that point, we're no longer concerned with what our wants and what our desires are. We're concerned with what God wants for us, and that is for us to stand in His truth, to be guarded with His righteousness, to be ready with the gospel because we have peace with God. That's where God wants us. There's a big difference between liking Jesus and being desperate for Him. Where are you today? John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Eternal life. Live forever. That's for you. That's how you have peace with God, through Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you just to do something real quick as we begin to wrap this up, I just want you to just close your eyes. Just bow your head. Rebecca's going to come and play the piano. We'll close us a little differently today. Maybe the reason you don't have peace when you lay down your head at night is because you've never confessed your faith in Jesus Christ. And you've never then, therefore, found the peace that surpasses all understanding. I can't even describe the peace because it passes my understanding. But if you've never experienced that, and you want to have the peace that comes from truly entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ, there's a way to do that. Maybe you've never done that in your entire life. You've never said, Jesus, be the center of my life. Be the center of it all. Jesus, you're the center, and I focus on you. I trust you as my Lord, as my Savior. I recognize that I have sinned, and I can't make payment for that, so I accept the payment that you've made for me. I accept your forgiveness, and I ask you to take charge of my life. Change me from the inside out. If you've never, ever done that, oh, my friend, then you have no idea what it means to have peace with God. I just want to ask, right, with nobody's looking around, eyes are closed, heads are bowed, if you've never experienced that peace, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, and today is the day that you want to do that, would you just say, just lift up your hand. There's nobody looking around. There's nobody looking around. It may be that the reason you don't have peace with God is because you don't know who He is. You've never entered into that relationship. I want to challenge you. If that's you, here in a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing a song. If that's you, and you feel God calling you and asking you to respond, let me challenge you. Put on the gospel shoes. Put on the feet, the shoes that are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Because you have peace with God, now stand in the shoes and take action. Move. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, you know what? I've got the armor, but I'm guilty of having it hanging in my closet. I've not been wearing it. I've not been standing in the truth. I've been showing it off. I know where the truth is. I know what it is, but I've not been standing in it. It's not been buckled around me. It doesn't hold me together. And maybe you haven't been standing in the righteousness of God, understanding that Christ has done everything for you so that you may be made righteous. But you've got to stand in that. Maybe you're here this morning, you're saying, I understand the righteousness, and I want to be righteous, but I've just not taken action to put that on and wear it. And maybe this morning, you just have not had peace. You've experienced and seen what God has to offer, but you've just not been willing to stand in it. Let me challenge you this morning. Don't leave here half-dressed. When you walk out of this place today, be prepared, because there's a battle waging. It's raging, and it's waiting for you. And if you're not ready, you're going to leave yourself open for attacks. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing just a couple of verses of this simple little hymn. But this is time for you. I want to open up the altar here. Maybe you just need to come and get between you and God and have peace with Him. I will be here if I can assist with that. If you want to receive salvation and you want to understand what that looks like and how that happens, I'd be glad to talk with you about that too. Maybe you decided that this is a place where you'd like to become a regular worshiper of Christ Jesus, and you found that this is a good place and you want to be part of that. Absolutely, come and talk to me about that. We can make that happen. But let me challenge you. Don't just stand there and grab that chair in front of you without doing something. It's not all about moving and coming here. There's nothing magic about this spot. But yet, when we put actions to our faith, it changes things. changes things. Now is your time. Let me challenge you to respond as the Lord's been leading.